Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm great, but yet I'm saddened. And I'm going to explain that to all of our people around the globe. But before I get into any of that, I really want to say hello to my good buddy Sergio down there at the Spectic Eyewear Repair in Redwood City. Met him for the first time. Boy, if you guys need anything done on your glasses, something breaks, and you need it done yesterday, you give Serge a call. He's at Spectre, S-P-E-C-T-E-K, Eyewear Repair. And this guy has a plethora of stuff that you need, and he gets it done while you wait. Prices are the greatest. He's a good old buddy. And at Spectre Eyewear Repair, right there in Redwood City, California, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a lot of action's been going on since we've talked, an awful lot. What do I mean by that? Woman is going, after picking up her daughter, going down a country road, going back to their house. This large creature takes two steps across the road, and the next thing you find, boom. It's our hairy friend one more time. So they're moving. It's migration time, folks. It's migration time. Next thing happens, we're getting calls from Ohio, famous area. We get them every year around this time. It's Ohio, Pennsylvania, upstate New York. Kevin and his wife are on the line today. TJ's on. He hasn't been on in a long time, and I'm going to get to that right now. So what's happened is early this morning, our dear friend, our colleague, man that's been out on expeditions, many expeditions with all of us, he's been here on our show, King Doyle. That's right, folks. King Doyle has passed. Doyle Holcomb, good buddy of all of ours. You know him. You loved him on the show. People around the globe sent their will wishes and for him to get better. But I want you all to understand, he's gone on to a better place. His brother, Denny, sweetheart, his wife, Carolyn, his son, James, his sister Debbie, and of course Denny. Is Denny with us tonight, Rocky?
No, sir. He has not called in yet.
Okay. Well, I can understand. He's got so much happening. Apparently, they're going to have the viewing on this Friday, and the funeral is going to be on Saturday. And everybody's welcome. That's the family, man. It's, you know, you knew him. You were part of his family, hell of a guy, and everybody, okay, just loved him to death. But, you know, he a young man still. He thought of my son, TJ, as a mentor, believe it or not. And when he talked to me personally, this was about before he went into the, on the other side, he was telling me, he says, you know, your son and I have had a lot of boots on the ground out here, and I want to tell you, I learned a lot from him. And he was kind of like my mentor when he lived out in this way. My son doesn't come on much anymore because he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to has a large responsibility of what he does now. But he says, I want to come on, Dad, and give my two cents about my love for him and where we've gone, what we've done in the past. So without any further ado, Rocky, can you connect me with TJ?
Hello.
Hey, son.
Hey, Dad. How are you?
Okay. I mean, it was kind of, you know, hit and miss, as we all knew for the last 3-4 days. All cheering him on and everything, but look, shit happens, and he's gone on to a better place. That's the only thing that we can think of, you know?
Yep.
And when I told you the story about what he told me, what came to your mind?
You know, I met Doyle many, 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 many moons ago. It was actually at my daughter's T-ball game. His son, James, or as we all call him, Woog, we're on the same team together. And it was a strange introduction because I've never really thought of us as stardom, you know? And he went, you're Tom Biscardi, you're T.J. Biscardi. And I went, yeah. And I knew right then when he said TJ, I went, it's a Bigfoot thing, right? And we started talking about Bigfoot. Our family started getting together. And we've been great friends. He's my brother ever since. You know, my condolences go out to Woog, Sis, Cattle, a.k.a. Denny, Carolyn, the family, everybody. Doyle's going to be missed. But Doyle shared so much happiness and stories with all of us that, you know, you can't forget him. You'll never will forget him. He was always giving of himself more than anybody else. He was there to take care of you if you needed it. He'd give you the shirt off his back. You know, he was just a great human being. and great human beings, you know, wear the crown, like you said, King Doyle. And they're far and few in between, and the ones we do have, we keep close, and we're saddened when they go. But it's just, it's a tough day, very tough day. He will have services this weekend. It'll be at the Green Baptist Church from 6 to 11 on Saturday. And I think it's a Green Hills Church. I got it written down somewhere, Denny told me. But it's in Middlesboro, Kentucky. I'll be there representing all of you and, you know, our Searching for Bigfoot family. Doyle was, what we can do is share our stories, you know, and have a celebration of life. You know, he has moved on, and there are many stories out there that we could all talk to about Doyle, because Doyle was the great storyteller. I'd even venture to say he was better than Rocky.
You know. You really got to go some to beat Rocky, that's for sure. You know,
exactly.
You mentioned something, son, about you met him at when it was T-ball. How old were the kids then?
He was 4 or 5.
4 or 5. So let's go on the high end of 5. And Jackie's going to be 21. That was 16 years ago.
Yep.
Can you imagine that you guys were together for 16 years?
Absolutely. I know it seems like it's forever ago, but it was, yeah, it seemed like it was yesterday. You know, we would spend hours, you know, I'd get off work. He'd get off work. He was a trooper back then. And, well, I can almost say it. Even when he was a trooper at night, we'd get in his patrol car and we'd go Bigfoot hunting up in the mountains, you know, in Harland and in Tackett Creek, Tennessee. And, you know, he'd get a call and go, oh, that can work. That call ain't worth going to. We're still hunting for Bigfoot. Let's go. You know? Yep. And we spent many a night searching the coal mine caves and caverns, and, you know, everybody that went Bigfooting with us, you know. We up in Arkansas with Rocky and Swede and me and you and everybody else, you know, we spent hours up there. I mean, heck, we had one of the creeks one night probing us, and Doyle wouldn't go to bed. He would stay up later with Rocky, like, more than anybody. You know, I'd be passed out in the truck sleeping next to the fire at 4 in the morning, and these two are still yapping. You know, and then, you know, here it is, 8 o'clock. They ain't gone to bed till 5, and I'm like, get up, we got to go Bigfoot hunting. Doyle will be sleeping in the car, snoring. And we concocted an Arkansas Reveille where Rocky pulled out his big old giant casool, and we fired it off next to Doyle's head. And literally, he jumped up out of his seat. Oh, you guys, what's not mad, not angry, actually laughing. You know, even though his ears were ringing, you know, that's why I say, look, that's the kind of person Doyle was. You know, and Doyle's up in heaven making people laugh right now. And I'm telling you, he's having a great time. He's looking down upon us and sharing his stories, telling stories.
You know, when you sit here and somebody called right after you had called me today and said they saw that big picture of all of us at the courthouse in Middlesboro. I guess you guys put it up today. How many people are in that picture, son?
Lee, me, Trebell, you, Doyle, and Rocky.
No, there's more than that, son.
Okay, Dad.
Somebody said this. Well,
that's what I can remember.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if anybody goes to our, I guess it's our Facebook, Searching for Bigfoot. Is that what it's called, son?
Yep. Yeah, Searching for Bigfoot.
Tell me how many people are in that picture, folks. I'm curious myself. I got Chris on the other line. Chris, if you'd be kind enough to go to our Facebook account and see that on the courthouse, I think we all had our T-shirts on there too, didn't we, son?
Yep.
We yes, did. Sir.
Yeah. So, Chris, tell us, if you get on there, tell us how many people are on that courthouse step, would you?
Okay, let me take a look here. And that's a group. Let's see here.
What?
13, 4 Bigfoot. Okay. Just press join and it says pending. Now I gotta scroll down. Okay, it says group is private. I just put on a request to join, so it's not letting me see right away. I didn't know that was your group.
Mine.
Otherwise, I would have joined right off the bat. But yeah, I'm not able to see the image yet. You know, pending.
Okay. All right. So, if it pops up while we're on, just let us know, would you?
Yeah.
I'm curious myself now because I remember that. Gosh, there were so many of us on there. It was just incredible. Rocky, tell us the story about when you were down there in Kentucky with them at nighttime, because I remember years ago when you guys were all out there in the middle of the night, you guys were hearing sounds and apparently something had paralleled the campsite, and Doyle said, I'm going to get that sumbitch.
Well, you know, Tommy brought up the Arkansas Reveille. The whole story is, I mean, Doyle loved to tell the story, and so I've got to tell it one more time. Me and him had stayed up late, and anyhow, next morning we got up and Tommy looked over there, and Doyle was snoring in the cab of the truck. He said, go wake him up. I walked over there. It was my .44 Magnum, a little short-barreled one, really loud. I torched it off beside his head, and as CJ said, he came, almost tore the dash off, but he came out laughing, and he asked me later. He said, Rocky, would you do me a favor? And I said, well, if I can. He said, give me your word that you won't fire that .44 Magnum over my head again when I'm asleep. And I said, Doyle, you've got my word that I won't fire that .44 Magnum over your head anymore. So, next morning, Tommy looked over there and he said, Rocky, go wake him up. So I walked over there with my .357 Magnum, and I torched it off over his head. And same result. He came out laughing and everything, but he said, you gave me your word that you wouldn't do that. And I said that I wouldn't fire the .44 Magnum over your head. I didn't say anything about the .357. Oh, well, that made it even funnier. It was all good. He said, give me your word that you won't fire any gun over my head while I'm sleeping. I said, okay, I'll give you my word. The next morning, Tommy said, Rocky, wake him up. And I said, here, Tommy, take my .357. And he went over and fired the gun off over Doyle's head.
That's right.
And, of course, he came out. He came out laughing. It was funny, and he said, yeah, you got me there. I said, you kept your word. But, no matter what, everything was funny. It was funnier after it was over sometimes, but we were all sitting around the campfire, and there was the everybody had gone to bed except me and Doyle. And we was just kind of, you know, doing what we did. We were telling each other stories. And all of a sudden, about 50 yards to the south of us, something squalled out. And it was a sound that I've never heard before. I've lived in the woods in Arkansas all my life, but I've never heard anything like that before. Doyle said, "Rocky, what is that?" And I said, "Doyle, I don't know." He said, No, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that." He said, "You're supposed to know." And I said, "Well, Doyle, I can make something up, but, you know, I still won't know what it is." Well, he woke PJ up and never heard a sound for the rest of the night. So the next night it rained and we all got to sleep in, and we didn't fire guns over Doyle's head. But the night after that, me and Doyle and Tommy were all sitting up, and Tommy was recording some of the nonsense that was going on in camp with just three of us. And to the north of us, the thing squalled out again. And Tommy got he recorded it. And yep. that was one of Doyle's favorite things to tell. That and the Arkansas Reveille. But then there were several of us out there one night, same place, and we was all sitting around the fire. Me and the fleet had been going there for decades, and we never built fires. We always had a cold camp. But for some reason, we had a big campfire going, and we was all sitting around telling stories and making fun of somebody, no doubt. All of a sudden, the rocks surrounding the fire just exploded. And I mean, it knocked us out of our chairs. But Doyle, after that, he was real quick to tell everybody, "When you're in Arkansas, do not build a campfire and then sit close to it, because the rocks will explode and kill you." And so with Doyle, I mean, no matter how bad it was, he could find the funny part real quick.
Yes, he did. Many different ways, Rocky. And thanks for that. By the way, TJ, you were right, as always. There is six people in that one picture, but that's not the picture I'm talking about. And thank you who sent that picture to me. And then there is the other picture that was sent to me, the one I was talking about, where there's 13 of us, all with the black shirts and the moon and the creature behind the moon. And I am sitting, believe it or not, standing, and I got I'm looking at it right now, so it's as if
that
you're looking
be
up
the one
at them, left to right, okay, there's Doyle, me, TJ, Rocky's in front of me, and then 11 other people. There's like 15 people in this photo. So it's two different photos, TJ.
Okay.
And
this
one's spread out along the steps all the way across. Pretty incredible photo, by the way. We were in so many different places, ladies and gentlemen, that it blew me away. I just said to myself, wow. And the people at... between Doyle knew, TJ knew, the guy that did the PR down there, what was his name?
William Trebell.
Yeah, William Trebell, that's him, yeah. Okay, so it's just incredible. thank you so much for that story. I could just picture Dora and Rocky together all night long. Because I've done a 72-hour trip with Rocky, and I was afraid that, you know, he'd fall asleep, and he will not let anybody else drive. Those of you who know Rocky, he's that kind of guy, okay? He won't fly, but he'll drive, and he'll drive, and he won't shut up. And I said, no, I don't believe this. Somebody gets tired. But not Rocky. 72 hours, ladies and gentlemen. He was not lost for words. and he wouldn't go to bed. So at this point in time, so do we have Denny on yet, by the way?
He is still not...
Do we have Roger on? Ladies and gentlemen, you got to forgive my partner tonight. He's been sniffing glue. He doesn't drink wine, doesn't take dope, but he sniffs glue.
Hey,
and I said, why do you do that? He just gets me high.
I thought I heard the voice say Denny. So maybe you should check all the phone numbers, Rocky.
Oh, good idea.
Okay.
Put everybody on open mic.
Are we there?
It's all 530 numbers. All right, there's Kevin.
Denny, are you on the line?
We got music on the line. However that happened.
Well, I'm trying to find out. Okay.
Sweet, are you with us?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
While our partner's trying to find out where he's at, what story can you share with us about Noel? Whether it be on the show, in person, whatever.
Well, you know, I only met Noel one time, and that was down at Dutton with TJ. And I should have been on that expedition, and I was hurt. I couldn't, but I still came out and seen the boys, and I met Noel there. This was during the time that they did their whole thing. And it was kind of like a... It was kind of like a Bigfoot sighting. It was very brief, but it was long-lasting. It's lasted a long time to meet Doyle. And I talked to him many times, as you know, and everybody out on that listens to the show knows that we had a great interaction, and Doyle's got the infectious laugh. It didn't matter what you said. That infectious laugh that he had would show up every time, and it didn't matter. It's hard to rattle him, you know, and just enjoyed Doyle a lot, spoke with him a lot off the air, personally on the phone with him, and some of the stuff that he was going through, and just chit-chatting around about this life in general.
How would you like to have background music like that?
I don't know who this is and how they're cutting down on us.
Maybe it's the ghost of Doyle.
There you go. Doyle's letting us all know he's listening.
I'll tell you. I enjoyed Doyle a lot. You know, he's
laughing it up.
He's got that infectious laugh. You know what I'm talking about, TJ?
Yes, sir. Yep.
He just cut loose with that laugh. It's kind of hard to, you know, hard not to fall right in there with him and do the same.
Yep, absolutely.
Very, very enthusiastic about the Bigfoot situation, too. That's another thing. Doyle was always on to the next, had his head up looking for that next opportunity for a, you know, for a Bigfoot encounter, or like you say, maybe take the patrol car and go look around a little bit. I can see him doing that.
Yeah.
And it kind of just all comes together, you know. I'm going to miss him a lot.
We all will. We all will. Huh.
It's amazing.
Oh, we love you, brother.
Yeah. We sure do. You know, it's an amazing story when you stop and think about throughout the years. In this case, it's 15, okay, or more. And we're together. We're still here together, and we're still doing the same thing and heel and toeing it down that road, looking for the thing that we've been looking for that we started out back in them years. And in my case, it's been over 50 years plus. You know, but it's we've kept together. We're united. And that to me is something that is totally wonderful. So Rocky, did you find out if Denny's come and gone? And
I haven't found it. Cannot find him.
Okay.
Him or Roger, either one.
Okay. Well, let me tell everybody, ladies and gentlemen, about Roger. You all remember Roger Peterson. He was going through some problems with his ex-gal, and he thought maybe he'd have to do some time because he got thrown in the house gal by brandishing a weapon, and they dropped all the charges, and he's a free man now, and he wanted to come and pay his respects on the show to Doyle. Well, so I don't know what happened, if he got caught off, whatever. But nevertheless, we have Kevin in New York with us. Do we still have him, Rocky?
Yes, sir, we do.
Why don't we put him on?
He is on.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you unmuted everybody. Fantastic. Kevin, you out there?
Yes. How are you guys?
Hey, thanks. Well, I don't know if you ever met Doyle in person. But you've sure heard him on the radio many times, haven't you?
Yes, I have. He's very pleasant to listen to.
Oh, he's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he's great.
I just want to give my condolences to the family and all his friends, because it's hard to lose someone you love.
Without a doubt. So while we have you, why don't you be kind enough to tell everybody what you had experienced lately, because I know your wife was jubilant the other day, and she was just sparkling and bubbling. Unless she wants to tell the story, I'd love to hear her say it, of what happened just recently.
Yeah, I'd like to have her on, but she's not feeling well, so she's already gone to bed. But she had gone to Florida with my sister, and they like to do a lot of walking. My wife will be having surgery on her knee soon, so she was trying to take it a little slower. But Robin was able to get at least a photograph of a possible structure. It looked like some trees were interwoven together. And she said she also saw what she felt might have been a nest on the ground. They were on some nature trail not far from Tampa, and there was a lot of Spanish moss laying on the ground, and it looked like something had been laying in the Spanish moss.
I remember ladies and gentlemen, due to the fact that he wasn't too far from Tampa where we were at the Green Swamp, where a lot of that action was going on, and we were looking at that time for tree structures and, of course, nesting and possibilities. And here she goes down there just visiting on a nature walk, and here she's finding them herself. Good eye, and kudos to her. Tell her that we really hope that she gets well soon, and we'll talk down the line, okay? We got a whole lot
right,
more shows, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to let's pay some bills, Rocky. Let's go to commercial. And on the other side, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? We've got Mr. Chris with us tonight, and he's got a new revelation to talk about with picture glyphs, and it's never been found or heard about or talked about, and you're going to hear it first right here tonight with us on the other side of the commercial. Go ahead, Rocky.
Before you guys run to the commercial, I got to take my leave. So I love you all. You guys have
changed.
A great evening.
Love
you
too.
Thanks.
My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tidal, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
We're back.
Ladies and gentlemen, every time I hear that little ditty, as you're going to hear me say it again and again and again, it makes the hair grow up on the back of my neck. It's just incredible. It's where it all started. Bigfoot Lives goes to Bigfoot Lives 2, Bigfoot Lives 3, and bevy of seven others, and one that's going to be coming out pretty soon. You get a chance to go down there and buy one. And, if you don't like it, buy two and give one to somebody else. But nevertheless, this whole show has been dedicated to our good buddy, our brethren, our Bigfoot comrade, colleague on the show. I call him the King Doyle. That's right. It's Doyle. I hope I'm saying this right. Help me out with his last name, Rocky. Holcomb?
Doyle's Holcomb.
Okay.
H-A-L-C-O-M-B.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make an announcement, and my good buddy Chris, God love him, he's been out there healing, towing it, and I'll tell you what, between his own personal life and taking care of his dad, and I tell you what, I take my hat off to anyone that takes care of their parents, but why should I even say that about him? He was brought up the right way, he knew the right Italian people, and that's what we do, period, end of report. But thank God that he's learned the right things throughout life, and he's still a family man and knows when his bread is buttered. And he's gained my respect, and I respect him more than anything. And with all the responsibilities that this kid's got, I call him a kid because he could be my own son, and God love him because he's out there healing, towing it, and making things work and doing what needs to be done to get things done. And here he is out there amongst the elements, and he's found some interesting things that not many people know about. You're going to hear him for the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our good buddy Chris. Chris, you out there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Why don't you tell everybody what you found and what's going on?
Good evening, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here once again with my friend of the family, Tom Viscardi, the Don of Sasquatch Research. It's a pleasure. And first of all, I'd like to send my condolences to Mr. Doyle Holcomb. And Doyle Holcomb, you know, my heart goes out to his family and to the people that knew him. I've never had the pleasure, but I know it's always hard to lose a team member. So, I mean, like I said, my heart goes out to everybody out there who knew the man. And, yeah, I have been really, you know, just kind of like, you know, it's getting to be that time of the year where we start to have a lot of activity in my neck of the woods. I just came up on some really lucky stuff. There's a lady who made a friend's request to me the other night, and I didn't recognize her face, but I did recognize after looking, scrolling down through the Facebook on her page, I saw her husband, and I do remember talking with him many times here. He works over at the grocery outlet, and so I started talking with her, and she was interested on a Bigfoot article I wrote on one of the community pages for our local community through Facebook about Sasquatch, and she told me that she's into, you know, anthropology and archaeology. She likes to do what I also like to do in my spare time when I'm out looking for Bigfoot. I also look for Indian artifacts and settlements, you know, where they settled in and have these grinding holes, these mortars where they would grind the acorns. And I found basically little settlement areas where they would come in, like basically like seasonal hunting camps along the streams that feed into the rivers here. And she had sent me some images because she had been taking pictures of these petroglyphs. And I got a photographic memory, and I right off the bat knew that, wait a minute, hold on a second, pump the brakes, where did you get this? And, you know, where, you know, I mean, oh my God, I mean, what a revelation to see Sasquatch petroglyphs. There's only one known Sasquatch petroglyph in the nation of the United States, and it's right here about 40 miles north of me as the crow flies on the Tule Indian Reservation in Porterville, California, in Tulare County. And so she sent these images, and those are well known. Those have been documented by anthropologist, archaeologist for the U.S. Forest Service, Mrs. Kathy Strain. And so as I was looking at these images, I went, oh my God, these are the same images that are over there in Porterville. They are obviously Sasquatch petroglyphs. I sent them over to Kathy Strain and asked her if she had seen these, and she said no, she had not. So this is the first time that these actual images are going to be released to the Bigfoot community, where people can actually, you know, sit there and look them over. I mean, this is the first time that they've been, you know, documented and put out there to the community of Sasquatch and Bigfoot research so that people can actually, you know, look them over and understand that these things have been here since time immemorial. You know, I mean, it's since time immemorial. I mean, it's like they, the Native Americans, they were the original caretakers of this land before we got here, and they were documenting this through oral tradition and petroglyphs and stuff like that, all the way up till present day where we have our, you know, hunters and our park rangers and people that, loggers that have been documenting this. So tying the old with the new, this is very exciting stuff. I mean, to be able to have something that has previously been unseen by anybody, unappreciated by anybody, many people may have seen them, you know, throughout the years that didn't know what they were because they don't do the type of stuff that we do. They're not researchers and investigators. They may not have even understood what they were looking at, but because I've been studying this since about 2007, 2008, I know that these are exactly what they are. I mean, it's unmistakable. I just sent the images over to Tom so he can take a look at them through my Facebook account. And, yeah, I mean, it really doesn't get any more real than this. And then to come and find out that these images, one of them, the first one, is less than 5 miles away from my home, and the other one is about 20 to 25 miles away. It's amazing to have this, to just because one of the petroglyphs, the one that's 5 miles from my home, that's happening in an area that's had a lot of Bigfoot activity. There's two reports on the BFRO in this area of Kelso Valley. There was one on a Bigfoot case file, and I've documented these footprints of a family of them coming through my area for 3 years in a row, and there's about to be another. If I'm still here in the area, I will end up documenting them again, because it's like they're using the stars. They suit up and show up they're there the same time of the year, within the same, time frame, in the same spot. It's almost like they have a dinner date or something. They're not late. They show up every time at that same spot. And both of these sets of petroglyphs were right out on the outside of the cave. There's two caves, and I've never been to these caves. I know there's caves all over the place out here. There's abandoned mines all over the place out here from during the gold rush and silver mining that was going on out here. And I can, when I asked the lady about the one petroglyph, she said that the cave was a birthing cave. She believed that she was told by local forest officials that they believed that it was a birthing cave. And, when the Native American women would have a child, a lot of times they would be put in a separate teepee, and they were left alone for a day or several days so the woman could bond with the child. But there was also certain purity rites. There were certain rituals that they would do so as not to affect the newborn child. And so they would put them in a safe spot, and they would guard the woman while she gave birth. And this one particular cave, apparently you have to crawl on your belly to get inside, but there's room enough in there for two families of people. And having a cave like that to go and give birth would give you protection from the wolves, from the grizzlies, from the mountain lions, and of course the hairy man. So, I mean, this is really, really, really intriguing stuff. I'm blown away. I feel ultimately privileged to be able to be the first person to share these new images with the community of Bigfoot research. There's already, with the one in Porterville, a lot of people know about that one. And, on the eastern edge of the Sierras, there's a few sets of footprints on certain rocks, certain petroglyphs of footprints that are flat-footed that go one in front of the other. And you don't really see a whole lot of this stuff until you get up to British Columbia, where they start, you start seeing the Sunakwa, which is the Sasquatch on top of the totem poles. So to have these new images, previously unknown and unseen to Bigfoot research, it's a revelation, to say the least. It's a pleasure to be so privileged to see and be able to announce and showcase new material to the world of Bigfoot.
I've got to tell you, Chris, and thank you so much for sharing with us for two reasons. Number one, this is a historical find, number one. Number two, you to bring this out and find it is remarkable. But you know what? It just goes to show you're not just one of those armchair quarterbacks that just goes through and feeds off of everybody else's work, which there's so many of them in this industry, that you set the pace. You're the front man, you're out there doing it.
Thank you.
No, it's the truth. I mean, look, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I do it the best way I can through others who are associated with us around the country. It took us many years to get where we're at today. Rome wasn't built in a day. And like you say, how long did it take you that you had to crawl, then you had to walk a little bit, and then before you knew you were running, next thing you know, you're a decathlon winner. It's history, okay? And this is what you're creating, okay? You are creating history for the others and the people who are coming up the ranks because they can use your material as reference. I applaud you.
Thank you.
Okay?
I'd like to give a special shout-out to my son, Kaya, and my better half, Rebecca. I miss you guys. Can't wait to see you guys. I know you guys are proud of me, and I just wanted to say, you know, I do this for you, I do this for him, and I do this for the whole world.
That's a beautiful thing. What a sentimental journey that you just took in the last 2 seconds. I want to bring in the bearded knowledge on this right now. Swede, you're with us?
Sure enough, I'm here listening.
What did you think about this, what's going on with him, that he just, you know, brought to the front? Nobody else has seen this before except for this woman.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, in any form or fashion, anytime you find something that's, you know, that hasn't been brought to light, it's, you know, whatever it is. But that's fantastic. I can't wait to see it. You know, any of the images like that, you see I know which ones he's talking about, the other ones with the flat foot, you know, the one in front of the little trail. But this new stuff, it's fantastic. That's great work, Chris. I'm glad you're getting in out there and getting it done. I know we've been kind of talking back and forth with the texting, and I know that you're very busy and you've been going like wild, I can tell. And that's awesome. Congratulations. Like Tom says, congratulations. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I can just say it comes straight from the Lord. It was a blessing. I could never have done this on my own without the big man upstairs.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk to our own big guy and our Lord, my co-host, Rocky. Rocky, what's your sentiments on this?
I'm waiting to see the images. Anything like that to me is just icing on the cake. I'm proud of Chris. I'm glad that we have somebody that that's doing what he's doing. It saves me, old fart like me, lots of shoe leather and stuff. Chris, appreciate it. Keep it up.
Well,
thank you.
You heard it, Chris, and that's coming from two of probably two of the best Bigfoot trackers and hunters, and who's been around with me for a long time, since my beginning anyway. And I'll tell you what, they're brothers to me, in which we've got back to back to back in a circle, and no matter who the people are, okay, they can't penetrate that circle because we got it covered. That circumference will never be broken. It's because of we got our own ideals of life. We're old school, and we know what makes, you know, the old adage, 1 + 1 = 2. And that's the way we're going to go. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been one hellacious show. And here we're showing something, ladies and gentlemen. We just lost one of our coveted brethren, King Doyle, as they call him, Doyle Holcomb. Great man, gracious man, gives out, and you know, you go see him, he lights up a room when he walks in a room. He's like a light bulb, okay? 150-watt light bulb. He has that contagious laughter that the Swede talked about. And he can sit there and talk to you on every level of life, as you've heard him on the radio. I want to give a couple of ditties here from what the people had said, and as we're talking right now. This comes from a guy named Hal. He says, Tom, would you please tell everybody what I'm writing here? So Hal proceeds to say that Doyle has been an inspiration in his life. He's never met him, but the only thing that he can tell you about him is that when he listens to him on the radio, he's like a big sponge, and he absorbs everything that Doyle says. He had it on his bucket list, was to meet Doyle and come out and take and accept his invitation of his graciousness of coming out there and being put up at his house, shown the areas, and he really wanted to see the four different states because he says he's never seen that before. Now, I remember him talking about that. Do you remember what the states were, Swede?
No, I don't.
Rocky, do you?
That he's in?
Well, no, he said
the four states.
Wasn't far from him, that he can stand there, and there was...
Yeah, that's Kentucky and Tennessee.
Well, that's two of them.
Yeah.
He said
no,
there was...
There's the Four Corners is...
That's up in New Mexico.
Another...
Yeah,
right.
That's New Mexico. But this guy, Hal, is talking about that. Okay, Hal... We think we got two of them, Kentucky and Tennessee, but we'll research that for you. And here's one from Susan. Susan said you're going to be missed by so many. And you I love this part. She says, you had me from the first day, whatever that might mean, Susan. You had me from the first day. She says, and I just listened to you, and then at nighttime, I would just go over because I recorded a bunch of the show when you were on, and I would just hear your voice, and you would rock me to sleep, King Doyle. Oh, my God. That's beautiful. Here's one here from Emily. I've never seen it spelt that way, but it's from Emily. And she says, damn you, Doyle. You had to get up and die on me when I almost had all the money saved to come out and see you. Here's another gal that wanted to come see her, and I'm sure to take him up on his gracious invitations, ladies and gentlemen, because every time he's on the show, he invited everybody and said, hey, we got a three squares and a cot here for you, and I'm sure a few brews, and to tell the story about how the world turns each and every day. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Guess what? The clock on the wall says it's time to go. But I'll tell you this. You'll never be missed, my dear friend Doyle. You'll always be the king, and the people around the globe in the Bigfoot world will remember you forever. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations. Thank you to all my guests tonight. Bye-bye.
Good night, Doyle. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.